Morning, everybody. Like the tie? Take a picture. It doesn't happen very often. I told Myra it was in honor of her return, but really I just decided to just wow everybody. And as one person said, oh, it's even a Christian tie, because it has the different names and titles of Jesus on the tie, so it's even a preaching tie. So first class today. We're going to spend time in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 to 18. And after our prayer time, I think it'll be pretty clear why I wanted to spend a little time talking about clay. That we have tremendous treasure in crumbling clay. I'm going to go right to the scripture and then we'll pray, get into the message. But let's get right into our scripture. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 18. I'll be reading from the NIV. The Apostle Paul, talking to the Corinthian church, says, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, 'I believed, therefore I have spoken.' With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Let's pray. Father, we ask that as we dig into your word, that our hearts, our minds would be open to what you want to speak to us. And Father, help me just to get out of the way so that your word can teach and can challenge this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Part of the reason I wanted to deal with this particular passage is I've been thinking a lot about Mia. A lot. Young woman, energetic, two little children, tremendous passion for missions, and she has this thing kind of standing in the way. It looked like she was on that road to healing. Now there's been sort of another bump in the road. We're not sure exactly what's going on there. We continue to pray for healing. This morning we had a doctor tell us, "I'm okay with not knowing. I'm okay with not knowing." Obviously, it's a little easier when the news is good, but I just thought it was interesting to hear a doctor who knows a lot about medicine to say, in this situation where doctors aren't too sure, "I'm okay with not knowing." And so, thanks for that, Dr. Rudy. I appreciate that because it kind of feeds into everything I've been sort of thinking and what I was hearing from the Lord and from Paul in this passage about being clay. We have this treasure in jars of clay. And when you start a verse that says, but, you're not a very good Bible teacher if you don't back up just a little bit to say what. Why is Paul saying but or therefore? If you start with but or therefore, if you're a decent teacher at all, you better back up just a little bit. So he says, "But we have this treasure." Well, what treasure, Paul? What are you talking about? Well, if you back up just a little bit, you kind of find out the treasure. Just back up to verse 6. And it talks about giving us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. A very poetic way to say that our treasure is first, our salvation, because we know the Holy Spirit enters us, enters our being when we're born again. So there's that great treasure. And then it's the glory of God in there that we're to share. This is treasure we're not to keep to ourselves, but to share. So it's the Holy Spirit in us through salvation, but then also the gospel that we have, the good news that we have, because of that, that we're to share. So that's the treasure, but here it sits in clay. And it is great treasure that we have. Ephesians 2, verse 7 calls it the riches of grace shown to us in Christ. The riches of grace. Not just a little bit here and there, but the riches of grace. And if you read through the first chapter of Ephesians, there's a very long sentence there in the middle of that chapter where Paul talks about our blessings in the heavenly realms. Great riches that are explained there by Paul. So reread that sometime if you haven't been there in a little while, just to kind of remind yourselves of this treasure that we carry around in these jars of clay. And there's a really interesting verse in Hebrews 11, verse 26. 11:26 in Hebrews. It says that Moses, that's that great Hall of Faith chapter where it's talking about the great men and women of faith of years gone by, examples of their faith. It says that Moses regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. Read over that verse before, but this time what caught me was that Moses regarded disgrace for the sake of who? The sake of Christ. How in the world would Moses know anything about Christ? Think of all the time Moses spent with God. Do you think the only thing God said to him was what was on the tablets and what we read in Leviticus and some of the other chapters? Do you think that's all they ever talked about? I think God laid out the whole plan to Moses. Why he was laying down the sacrificial system. Why the tabernacle was laid out so very specifically the way it was. I think he sat Moses down and told him, this is all pointing to the Messiah, to the Christ who is to come. He may not have given him a whole lot of details, but I think God told him, I think this is an indication from Hebrews that Moses knew a bit about this one that was to come. And even what little bit Moses knew, it says Moses regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt. You understand how rich Egypt was, right? How tremendously rich they were. A lot of that from Joseph before because of that program he set up. Remember with the period of famine and then the 7 years before that of plenty. And Egypt basically took lots of stuff over and became tremendously rich. So we have great, what I'm getting at is we have great riches in this jar of clay. We have this treasure in jars of clay. So, okay, God, we got great treasure. Why clay? Why did we get these jars of clay that chip and crack so easily? Well, Paul says, to show that this all-surpassing power is from who? Is from God and not from us. So we have this clay to show that whatever we do, whatever we accomplish, it's from God. It's not from us. We started as dust, right? As dirt with Adam. Genesis 2:7, Lord created Adam from the dust. So we started in the dirt, and we end up in the dirt, unless something else happens. But generally, we start from dust, and then we end up, Ecclesiastes even says that, Ecclesiastes 3:20 says we all come from the dust, and we all go back to the dust. So from dust we come, to dust we return. So clay is what? Clay is dirt. Clay is mud. Clay is a classy name, earthenware. But it's dirt, made to look pretty good. When you get it with water and make it into the clay and start to mold, it's clay. But it shows God's power. Nobody knew this kind of thing better than Paul. The descriptions we have from outside biblical sources of Paul are not real impressive. He didn't seem to be physically a very impressive specimen from some of the few writings that we have that describe a little bit of what Paul was like. And Paul talks about his thorn in the flesh. We don't know what that was. Maybe an eye problem, maybe something else. But he even talks about that his eyes seemed to give him trouble, that he had trouble speaking. We don't know if that was a stutter, might have been. But physically, Paul was not a super impressive guy. But what a wonderful treasure in that particular jar of clay. When Paul is asking about trying to get rid of his thorn in the flesh in 2 Corinthians 12, God responds after God says no. Remember, sometimes God says no. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in what? In weakness. That's crazy. We read that, it rolls off our tongue like no big deal. That's nuts. The world thinks that is insane. And that's our gospel. That's what we preach. That's what I'm sharing and emphasizing with you today. My power is made perfect in your weakness, Jeff. Made perfect in your weakness, Charlie. Made perfect in your weakness, Bob. Just came off crutches himself. We were sort of laughing about that. The elders tried to get together for prayer before the service, and we looked at the walking wounded in our circle. And I said, man, this is a pretty good example of what I'm going to talk about this morning. It was a word picture of the sermon right there in our prayer time. So one reason that it's clay, the most important reason, is so God can show his power in the clay, in this clay pot that we are in. Secondly, it lets us know who's in control. The prophet Jeremiah had lots of word picture lessons from the Lord, and one was in Jeremiah 18. The Lord says, go down to the potter's house and just watch the potter. And so Jeremiah does, and I'm not going to read it, just paraphrase it. The potter starts on a pot. It didn't turn out quite the way he wanted, so he just kind of slapped it together and started another pot. And anyone that has thrown pots or done some clay molding knows how that works. You just kind of smash it and start over because it's not quite the way you wanted. And so his point to Jeremiah was, see what the potter's doing? His first attempt wasn't like he wanted, so he just smashed it and started over again. Who's in control, Jeremiah? The potter or the pot? And so it was pretty obvious to Jeremiah, and it's obvious to us, who's in control? And this is another reason that it's clay. Clay is moldable, but the clay is not in control. The potter is in control. The potter determines what the clay is going to look like, how it's going to be shaped. In Romans 9, Paul just briefly hits on this same topic, and he says, it's the potter's right to make for the clay whatever he wants. That's the potter's right to do that. And is it right for the clay to talk back? I don't think a potter's ever had a lump of clay say, hey, what are you doing? Stop that. I don't like this. We do that. We clay pots do that all the time. But ordinary clay, I don't think a potter's ever had that happen. I don't think a potter would tell us that the clay has ever spoken up and said that. There's a couple places in Isaiah, you don't necessarily need to jot this down, but Isaiah 29 and Isaiah chapter 45, the prophet says, is it right for the clay to tell the potter what to do? Sort of an obvious no response to that. It's not right for the clay to be dictating to the potter. Has to be the other way around. The potter's the one that has to be dictating. A missionary to China, Hudson Taylor, some of you might know that name, started the China Inland Mission back in the mid to late 1800s, around in there. He said this, and Hudson Taylor had lots of physical problems. He was kind of a weakling physically, but he worked on that a bit and was able to minister in China for a long time, even though physically he was never particularly strong. But man, what tremendous impact in China. So he knew about the clay. And he said, all God's giants have been weak men. All God's giants have been weak men who did great things for God because they counted on him being with them. Pretty simple statement, but really profound. Great men, we consider great on one hand, were really weak who did great things because of the God they counted on being with them. So those are some things about why clay. We have treasure. It's in this jar of clay to show God's all-surpassing power. Clay is tested by fire. It's another point about clay. Clay doesn't look real pretty until it's fired, until it is in the kiln or some other kind of firing process. I lived in New Mexico for quite a few years, and there's this beautiful black-on-black pottery called San Ildefonso. There's a couple other tribes that do this. Judy, you may be familiar with some of these types of pottery. But it's beautiful, and we watched a video one time on how they make it. They would throw the pots first and then have a little bit of a hole in the ground would be set in there, and then some dirt would be put in there. And then it would be covered with scrap metal. It was a woman who's well known for this black-on-black pottery. It was sort of her way of doing it. And it took them quite a long time to get all these scrap pieces of metal laid over on top of the clay. And then for the fuel, there's lots of cows in this area. Those of you that have been around farms or around cows know where I'm going with this. Cow chips. Dried cow manure, basically. They would pile that on top of the metal and then do some other stuff on top of the cow chips to make it start easier and then set the whole thing on fire. And eventually it would collapse on itself. All the metal would sort of collapse in and it would smother this pottery. It would be super hot. And then they would just let it sit for a long time. It took forever to cool. So it took a tremendous amount of time just to do this, but when these pieces of pottery were taken out, if you've never seen this, or you can just maybe Google it to take a look at, it is spectacular black-on-black pottery, sort of etched so it almost looks like silver, the etching that's done in black. And then this brilliantly shiny black pottery. But it takes a long time. It takes a tremendously hot fire to go from just ordinary-looking clay to this beautiful black, jet-black pottery. And so with these jars of clay, we need to be tested by fire. We were hearing during our prayer time of a lot of testing that's going on, a lot of little fires here and there in people's lives. And sometimes it takes a while for us to be fire-tested, for this clay to come out so that it looks better, so that it has a better testimony, if you will, to the rest of the world. Paul, in describing from verse 8 down, is pretty much talking about himself, but we can all relate. Or hard-pressed, not crushed, perplexed, not in despair, persecuted, not abandoned, struck down, not destroyed. Paul went through a lot of challenges in his time. He was truly fire-tested. Let me give you a list that I like to call Paul's shopping list. From 2 Corinthians 11, 23 and following, he's talking about how he shapes up against the other apostles. And one of the things he turns to is his fire-testedness as this clay pot. He starts that he's been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times... I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, danger from bandits, danger from my own countrymen, danger from Gentiles, in danger of the city, danger in the country, danger at sea, danger of false brothers. Whew! I've labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I love this that a pastor says this, besides everything else, I face the daily pressure of my concern for all the churches. After that long list, he says, and then my churches don't get me started. Those Corinthians, oh my goodness. But what a list, huh? And this is from the guy who said, I want to know Christ. Beyond everything else, I want to know Christ. But what a list. I mean, that's San Ildefonso fire testing and then some. So please know that your test, hard as it may be, if you're a Christian, is fire testing so that you'll come out with a better testimony. You'll come out looking better to the world, especially when you get on the other side. Even our friend Job knew that he was clay. In one verse, just in chapter 10, again, you don't need to look it up. In chapter 10, he just uses the phrase, "You molded me like clay." Job, who went through his own fire testing, he knew about this thing and being molded like clay. A Bible teacher once remarked, "Ministry that costs nothing accomplishes nothing." Ministry that costs nothing accomplishes nothing. Do you remember David? Those of you that are familiar with your Old Testament, David wanted to do a census. God said that was not right. He did it anyway. Sinned greatly against God, and God said, "Okay, people are going to be punished. Either you or the people, pick your poison." And so a plague killed a lot of people, was finally stopped, and David wanted to give a sacrifice of his repentance, but also of thanks to God that the plague had stopped. And the Lord told him to buy the threshing field that was in that area. The man who owned it just wanted to give it to David, and David said he would not offer a sacrifice to God that costs nothing. So therein, sometimes the fire testing that this great treasure, and it is tremendous treasure, it cost. It's free for us, but it cost Jesus his life. And besides the physical side of Jesus' way to the cross and the crucifixion itself, I really think it pales to in comparison with having every single sin ever going to be committed, laid on him all at one time. We can't even begin to imagine. If you've had your heart broken by one person breaking your heart, you know how horrible that was. Imagine every sin, every ugly thing ever being laid on you all at once. It had to be God. Only God could handle that. But the fire testing is needed for the clay. The clay has to be fire tested, or it's just going to be ordinary, sort of dull, not too interesting clay. And there are some people that they just don't seem to get some of these tests very often. They just kind of seem to cruise a little bit, and that's okay. But the people that I know that have the strongest testimony are the ones that have had the most fire testing. And I think other people can then relate. So that's another thing about clay, that it does need to be fire tested. So, how does a fire tested pot respond? Verse 13, "It is written, 'I believed, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith we also believe, and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence.'" So how does a fire-tested pot respond? I believe. I am not going to focus on my circumstances, on my fire testing. I know it's part of the process, Lord. I'm not going to let it drag me down or dissuade me from what you want me to do. I'm going to believe. Believe that it's the same God before the trial as after the trial. When I broke my leg a few years ago, that was one thought that occurred to me more than once. This is the same God before I broke my leg as after I broke my leg. And then hearing the challenges today presented in the prayer time, various levels and various types of trials. The heat is turned up a little higher in some, not so high in others, but there is quite a level of fire for some of our folks that are dealing with right now. And I come back to Mia. Mia and Gil are in the middle of a pretty hot fire right now. But I've gotten a few emails from Mia that I think she understands this thing of, I believe. I don't understand everything. And can we come to that thing of, I'm okay with not understanding? Sometimes you're not going to get the whole picture here. It's going to take a little later, you know, some of those great heavenly Bible studies when we get to ask some of those questions. But here, we don't always completely, fully understand the whys, the wherefores. But can we come back to, I believe. Lord, I don't know where you're taking me. I don't know where you're taking Mia and Gil and the boys. Tremendous challenge for them. The heat is turned up in that kiln that they are in. Those clay pots are really being tested. But can you come back to, can we as a congregation praying for her, come back to, I believe. Same God before Mia found out she had cancer, same God after she found out. And we have a lot of cancer survivors in this congregation. A lot of people that have been through that particular kind of fire. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we live by faith, not by sight. Without faith, it's impossible to do what? It's impossible to please God. We tend to just kind of stop there, but the rest of that, verses 6 and 7, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So clay pots unite, there is reward. There is reward, even though you may have a crack here, a leak there, a chip. There is great reward for obedient pots. Job came through to the point where he could say, though he slay me, yet I will hope in him. That's from Job chapter 13. Though he slay me, yet I will hope in him. So that's how a fire-tested pot responds. And people see. They watch. They know when you're dealing with these things in a way that continues to show hope. Verse 15, all this that's going on in the testing of a clay pot, all this is for your benefit so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Because you are in this fire as a clay tested, as a fire tested pot, and you're responding, I believe, that helps to reach more and more people with the word of grace. It helps for the glory of God to overflow. And that's really what we want. That's the bottom line. We want His grace, His glory that's in me to overflow. So people see that they can go through these trials and they don't have to be perplexed and destroyed and brought down. That you can persevere. Verse 16, therefore, we do not lose heart. I love that. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, anyone say amen? At age 50 plus? Maybe not so much for some of you younger people, but for some of us, we read that and we go, amen, Lord. Glad you understand. Though outwardly we are wasting away, whew, yet inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. A couple weeks ago, I stepped wrong and twisted my knee really badly. And I heard a little, you know, when I went down, a little. Okay, another trip to GMH. Here we go. But I just sat there for a little while, collected my thoughts, moaned and groaned for a while, and was able to get up and hobble away. And I'm okay. Thank God. But those reminders are pretty steady that we're in clay pots. We are wasting away. And again, it does come a little more close to home when you get a little older. But we all know young kids, babies. Kim, you've been sharing from your extended family. Little ones get fire tested. And boy, we really, really don't understand that. Are we okay with not understanding? Well, we have to get there and still say, I believe. I don't understand always, but I believe. So the fire-tested pot needs to respond and say, we do not lose heart. Jesus put it in a little different way in John 16:33. A lot of you know this one. In this world, you will have what? You will have trouble, tribulation. You kind of think in this world, you will have great joy is what you want Jesus to say. And there certainly is that. But Jesus says, in this world, you will have trouble. Count on it. But, take heart. Why? I have overcome the world. We do not lose heart. Romans 5, we rejoice in the hope of God, but also in sufferings because suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. That's a rough road, isn't it? We tend to just read these verses, right, and just not really think about it. Suffering starts with suffering. Suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Only God can start with suffering and end up with hope. Only God can make that direction work. It doesn't work for us. We go from suffering to more suffering to complaining to bitterness to despair to death, welcoming it. That's the direction we want to take. But the Lord says no. Suffering, perseverance, character, and hope. Do you come back to, I believe? Do you believe that's what it is? Verse 17, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. And I think one of the reasons we have so much trouble with dealing with the tests in this clay pot is we really don't have any idea about heaven. We really don't. We read about it, we think about it, we wonder about it, but we just don't have any idea the wonders of heaven compared to what we're being challenged with here. For our light and momentary, yeah, right, Paul. Light and momentary, come on, you don't know what I'm going through. Light and momentary troubles, remember what Paul had dealt with, achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. And that translation is pretty good, but in the Greek, I was reading a couple of commentaries, and one said, you really have to kind of wrestle with this. It's a little hard to put into English. It's almost as if in saying this far outweighs, Paul's almost saying in one commentator's words, from extraordinary into extraordinary. It's like Paul's even having a hard time explaining how much greater the blessings of heaven and eternity with Christ will be compared to what we're going through here. It's extraordinary into extraordinary. He's fighting to try to tell us how wonderful heaven is going to be in comparison. So we do not lose heart, even though we are clay, even though the tests are tough. But we do, as clay pots, need to be fire tested, but we do not lose heart. And then to help us through, verse 18, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Hebrews 12:2, fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Yes, the tests are very, very hard. And again, thinking of our sister Mia and what the Dirksons are going through, a point of understanding is difficult. We don't really fully understand. So young, so vibrant, such a deep passion for missions, really wants this discipleship training to get heavily involved with YWAM, wants to give all that she has and is to missions, and they're dealing with what they're dealing with. So as a congregation, let's continue to pray for people like Mia, and Mia's not the only one, but that's one that's kind of in front of us right now. Continue to pray that God will touch her with a tremendous healing that will be a great testimony to the world. But if God has other plans, can we come back to and pray this for Gil too, that we can still say, I believe. He is the potter. We are the clay. The clay cannot say to the potter, "Why have you made me thus?" The potter has a full right to make of the clay pot what he wants to make. Let me close with a few words from Johnny Erickson Tada. Talk about a clay pot that's been through it. Some of you know that name, Johnny Erickson Tada. Those of you that don't, she was injured in a diving accident as a teenager, was paralyzed from the neck down, basically. She has a little bit of movement in her arms, but not very much. Has been in a wheelchair all these years. She's now 60. She just celebrated her 60th birthday. Amazing, amazing woman. And her husband, Ken, is equally amazing. They've been married for a long time. But she's 60, and she just recently found out she has breast cancer. And you go, "Oh, God, why?" I don't understand. But listen to Johnny. This is from a blog after her second or third chemo. "When Christians suffer, Satan works overtime to erode and eat up our faith, whereas God seeks to test, refine, and strengthen our faith. And our responsibility in this great struggle? So then, those of you who suffer according to God's will should commit yourself to your faithful Creator and continue to do good." She's quoting 1 Peter 4:19. "Committing yourself to God is trusting Him. Continuing to do good is obeying Him." There it is. Trust and obey. That is doing kingdom work. Like Dr. John Piper said in a sermon, "God's great purpose in all our suffering will be accomplished when we do what Jesus did in the agony of His cross, when He cried out, 'Father, into Your hands I entrust my spirit.' And when I entrust my spirit to Him, the Holy Spirit is quick to pour out strength, comfort, and encouragement, reminding me that this too shall pass." This is a woman in a wheelchair for, I think, 50-some years, now dealing with breast cancer, and she says, "This too shall pass." If Johnny says it, I think a lot of us can say it. Let's realize that God is the potter and that He gave you your clay. Whatever kind of shape your clay is in, the Lord is the one who gave you that clay. Let's handle challenges like a believer. Let's be a witness regardless. When we're a fire-tested pot, let's be a handsome, striking, fire-tested pot. Take care of the clay. This is the practical side. Take care of the clay. Exercise. Eat right. Take that supplement if you need, right, Brother Betwin? Yeah. But take care. God gave you clay. It's sort of easily messed up. So take care of the clay on the practical side. And when fellow believers are cracked, help. As one lady said, we're all cracked pots in God's kingdom. And as cracked pots, let's help one another be glued together and shined up and not step on that crack pot to make that crack a little bigger, because we sometimes do that in the church. We have too many testimonies of that. So this morning, that's my challenge and my encouragement, that we are all clay, but we're all clay that holds tremendous treasure. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for the reminder. Lord, watch over these clay pots here at Faith Church. And Lord, for those that don't know You, they don't hold this tremendous treasure because they don't know You as Savior. I pray, Father, that even this morning they might be feeling themselves drawn to You, drawn to the cross, drawn to this Savior. Lord, that they might ask for forgiveness of their sins and ask You to take over their life, their heart, to be born again. And that, Lord, You would grant them this gift of regeneration, this gift of faith, that they would start a new life with You. Perhaps even today, Father, would You draw them. And Lord, for those here who already know You, who are fire-tested pots, and we have plenty in this church, Father, help us to be the kind of pot that can say after the fire testing, "I believe. I may not understand, Lord, but I believe." And Father, help us to be the strong testimony that the all-surpassing power is what's in this clay, so that they will see you and not us, and that you would get all of the glory due your wonderful name. And Father, we do pray for Mia and for Gil. Father, we don't understand. We don't understand what's going on. We don't understand what your plan is for her right now. But Father, we do believe that you are the Lord and God of all. We do pray for her healing. We pray that you would touch her body in a wonderful way. But Father, we do pray for courage to understand where you may be headed with this, and for Gil especially, and for the boys. And we just lift them up to you this morning. And we pray that you would help all of us to, day by day, walk like clay that really does want to proclaim your name, that the people will know the great potter who made us all. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, and for Gil, Father, we don't understand. We don't understand what's going on. We don't understand what your plan is for her right now. But Father, we do believe that you are the Lord and God of all. We do pray for her healing. We pray that you would touch her body in a wonderful way. But Father, we do pray for courage to understand where you may be headed with this, and for Gil especially, and for the boys. And we just lift them up to you this morning. And we pray that you would help all of us to, day by day, walk like clay that really does want to proclaim your name, that the people will know the great potter who made us all. In Jesus' name, amen.